In 1845, I was shown I must speak to fanatics concerning their wrongs, but this duty was a great cross to me.
Dear sister, the Apostle Paul says all things must be done decently and in order. That does not mean crawling around on your hands and knees.
Jesus said, "Become as little children." We must show our humility.
But can't you see that such extreme behavior is bound to cause disgust?
Children of the world will always oppose God's true people. I have suffered much persecution for the Lord's sake.
That's not persecution. You talk to unbelievers in a way that's calculated to irritate and offend.
You've been sent by the devil. I won't listen to you.
Sarah, it's so painful for me to have to rebuke anyone. I'm so young, and some of them are old enough to be my father or mother.
But you must do as the Lord commands you.
I wish Mother were here so I could talk to her. It's too bad she and Father are away.
Yes, but we can hardly blame them for being sickened by the fanaticism here in Portland.
It sickens me, too. Worse, I'm always afraid that I'll be too harsh when I bear testimony to reprove someone.
Oh, you never.
Still, when they oppose reproof, I wonder if I've presented the message in the wrong way, and if they're responding to me instead of to the Lord's message.
What a heavy burden. I don't know how you bear it.
Sometimes I feel that death would be welcome. In the grave, I could rest from these responsibilities.
In a vision soon after this, the Lord showed me that such doubting was unfaithful. He seemed to frown and turn his face from me, and I could understand what the feelings of the lost will be when they cry to the mountains and rocks to fall on them. In the summer of 1845, I continued to travel, encouraging the believers and opposing fanaticism. During one of my visits home to Portland, the Lord showed me that I must go to Portsmouth the next day.
But Ellen, we have no money left.
Sarah, the Lord has always provided a way for me to obey His commands. Let's prepare to go, and let Him provide the means.
All right. We'd better send a message around to Elder White. That must be Elder White. I'll get it.
Good morning, Sister Sarah. Are you ladies ready for the trip?
Come in, Brother James. We're just tying our bonnets.
Sister Ellen, has the Lord provided the means for our trip yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure He will.
There goes the first bell for the train.
Someone's coming. I'll open the door.
Sister Almond, is there anyone here who needs means? I was impressed that someone here needed money.
Why, yes, Brother Murphy. We're going to Portsmouth at the Lord's bidding, but we've no way to pay our fare.
We decided to start anyway and trusting God to open the way.
We're here. This is enough money to take all three of you to Portsmouth and back.
God bless you.
Come on. Take a seat on my wagon and I'll carry you to the depot. It's just a few blocks. You know what was the funniest thing? The horse seemed to be in a tearing hurry all the way here. He run the whole 12 miles. I just couldn't slow him down.
Once more, the Lord had shown that He was leading me. In August, I was commanded to visit Massachusetts and bear my testimony. When we reached Boston, we learned that Joseph Turner had arrived just hours before.
It seems clear to me that our being sent to Massachusetts just at this time is to save God's people from falling under Joseph Turner's influence.
I'm sure you're right, Sarah.
I hate to think of that man being near you again, Sister Ellen. He caused you so much trouble and heartache in Maine.
Yes. He had some success in turning my friends and even family members against me. But I must do the Lord's work. Turner's fanaticism and hypocrisy must be exposed again.
We can start right away. Our first meeting is in Roxbury.
Our Lord will come. He will come literally, personally, and openly. There will be no doubt.
Sister Harmon, let me take your hand. I've been opposed to you, and I said that the devil sent you. But I can no longer doubt. You're clearly a child of God. He has sent you to us.
Amen. Amen.
While in Massachusetts, I made my home with the family of Brother Otis Nichols. They gave me much encouragement and generously supplied me with means to travel during much of the next 8 months. It was now widely expected that Jesus would appear in October 1845.
Now that you're settled in Carver for a few days, I'll be off to Dartmouth, Sister Helen. Oh, we've come to be good friends over the last several months. Would it be all right if I called you? Ellen.
Why, yes. That would be fine. James?
Well, I'll see you in a few days then. Ellen?
But do we know what watch the Lord is coming, Brother White?
Of course we know, Brother Stanton. Three watches have already passed, and there are but four. Read Matthew chapter 14, verse 25.
And you feel sure that the fourth watch will end on October 22nd, 1845?
Most certainly. We will watch, and like Noah.
Excuse me, Brother White, this letter has just come for you.
Thank you. Why, it's from Ellen. Must be very important for her to write. I'll be back in Carver in just a few days.
Why don't you open it and find out?
Dear James, you must cease preaching the Lord's return this October. I have been shown in a vision that such expectations will be disappointed.
Oh!
There's more. The saints must pass through the time of Jacob's trouble. And this is in the future.
Oh, that must be a real blow to you, Brother White.
Well, no, I think not. God now has Ellen as a means of communication in the world. In his mercy, he's given us light to spare us from another terrible disappointment.
We took up our travels again in the winter of 1845 and 1846. Now and then we returned to Portland, and I frequently spoke to the believers there.
My, there are a lot of people here tonight, Ellen.
Yes, Sarah, but some of them have only come out of curiosity to hear a woman speak in public.
Curiosity may bring them, but at least they'll hear the truth while they're here.
Brother James, we better go find seats, or we'll have to stand while Ellen speaks.
Oh, you're right, Sister Sarah. God be with you, Ellen.
Two platforms have been passed, and we are now on the third. This platform represents the third angel's message.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Sister Sarah, who's that tall black man jumping up and down and praising God?
Why, I believe... Yes, it's Elder William Foy. He's a Baptist minister who preaches the Second Advent. He had visions a couple of years ago, and we heard his testimonies at Beethoven Hall early in 1843.
That's just what I saw, sister. That's just what I saw. You had the same vision I did. May I talk with you after the meeting?
Of course you may, Elder Foy. I'll be honored to have an interview with you.
During our interview, Elder Foy gave me a printed copy of his visions, which I have kept. Our travels continued. James and I were always accompanied by at least one chaperone, but even that didn't stop evil minds and tongues.
Ellen, something's come up. I won't be able to accompany you any longer.
But, James, why? I've come to depend upon you so much. I can't bear the thought of being permanently separated from you.
And the thought of your traveling with someone else is disturbing to me. But the old ugly rumors have surfaced again.
Oh, no. I shall miss you terribly.
Well, I may have a solution. You need me, and I certainly need you. So, what about it?
What about what?
Let's get married.
Oh, James! But I thought...
Yes, I know. I preached against Adventists marrying. I even wrote a rather sharp letter to a couple planning to wed. I accused them of denying their faith.
With the soon coming of Jesus, marriage does seem futile, but...
We love each other.
Still, we must be careful to do nothing rash. We must beware of injuring our testimony or making any move that would prevent our doing acceptable work for God.
Let's pray about it. But I'm sure getting married is the right thing for us to do.